welcome back to Rock the Culture. This season 3, episode, what are we going to call it, Blake? 6.1?
6.1. Is it 6.1?
Yeah, we had episode 6 last week.
All right, well, 6.1, the bonus.
Bonus pod. Hit him with your bonus pod.
Extra credit. Bonus pod. Come and get it. It's free.
It's free.
It's free.
Was the other ones not free,
Blake? They not free.
We charging for the pod now?
Somebody charging for the pod.
Hey. Shout out to the sponsors. Big ups to the, this is Rock the Culture, man. It's a podcast where we bring perspective and conversation to all things Central Arkansas, all things Little Rock, all things the culture. I'm your host, Antoine Phillips. And I know my man three-term hate on this, but people been hitting me up. They be like, man, what's up? A-N-T-W-A-A-N-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S.
They are not congratulating
you. They are doing that.
They are not. They are making fun of you at the same time.
PG, bro.
I'm sorry.
PG.
I'm sorry.
See?
It's been a long week.
Well, what can they find you, Rep Blake?
It's your favorite representative, always repping. Two takes. Three terms. You can find me on Instagram at RepBlake36.
And man, we gotta give a special shout out, as we always do, to our guy, Grammy Q Note on the IG, Keys to the City TV Films.
On YouTube.
Because we mobile. You said at the beginning of season 3, Blake. You said
it's the live season.
It's the live season.
We out here
today. We're back.
It's lit.
Welcome back to Philander Smith College.
True.
Continue to open up their doors. We have a historic guest coming through our city. Because it was a big election year. We had Congressman John Lewis here.
On campus, absolutely right.
Representing for our guy, Clark Tucker. And now we got our guy, Bakari Sellers, CNN correspondent here, repping for our guy, Frank D. Scott Jr. for mayor. So big shout-out to Philander Smith for showing love to Rock the Culture.
Big shout-out to Little Rock, man. We've had a lot of interest, a lot of national attention to this race. I heard a commercial with Don Cheadle the other day. Don Cheadle saying, go vote for Frank Scott Jr.
Where you heard that at?
On the radio. Yes, bro.
Don Cheadle?
Don Cheadle.
Like, yeah, what's Don Cheadle's most famous role?
It probably got to be the show on Showtime.
What is that show?
Not House of Cards.
I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of it. But that can't be it, bro. He got some good movies. Don Cheadle got some good movies. Traffic.
The show where he the consultant.
Yeah, because everybody went to B school.
Yeah.
I know what show you're talking about, but that's not his most famous work. What you got, Q? Q, checking this in? Hotel Rwanda.
That's a good one.
There you go. Q with the culture, bro. You over here talking about pay.
Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13.
All Don Cheadles. Don Cheadle, great actor. He representing for Frank Scott?
He's representing. He wants you to go out on Tuesday, December 4th. And vote for Frank Scott Jr. for Little Rock Mayor.
Yeah,
it's a national race, man. Great AP article the other day.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's...
And we've been telling people that.
Yeah.
I mean, you come to the pod, you get the news, we'll lay it out for you. We said this is big news, a big race. AP article that you mentioned highlighted... There's a lot of confusion about this in our city.
Okay.
That Frank Scott, when elected, will be the first elected.
Yeah.
Black mayor in the history of Little Rock. I know whenever I see it on social media, someone always hits us back and say, well, what about Lottie Shackelford?
Mm-hmm.
What about Charles Bussey?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be clear. They were selected, elected by their fellow board members, not by the city at large.
Yeah, they were selected. Yeah.
Right. So this is a historic race. So the AP's picking up on it.
Appointed.
Don Cheadle's picking up on it. And now Bakari Sellers here picking up.
He's here, man. I've been with him all weekend. It's actually the second time in the last couple of years he's been to Little Rock.
Yeah.
Bakari and I both served as surrogates for Hillary Clinton a couple of years ago.
So, I didn't realize that.
So he came down and we did a Q&A at Central. We hung out for the weekend. He was here when they had the deal at Central when Tony Blair and W was here and Clinton. You know, this is my second time hanging out with Bakari. He's a solid dude, man.
And big shout outs to you. I was out of town the past couple of days, three term. But
your boy went viral. That's what you was going to say.
Yeah, bro.
My bad.
I'm trying to give you some props, and you get
one take go viral.
You get sick getting excited, but you went viral. People, we've been talking about it on the pod for the past, I guess, two seasons.
True.
That you were going to refile legislation to make voter registration automatic.
Yeah.
That finally hit the press.
Just making it so hard. That's what I'm
about. What should it be? It should be as simple as...
It should be as simple as getting a glass of water.
I can't wait till John Lewis hit you up. and just say, bro, you don't stop making fun of me.
You don't stop. I'll be back.
Yeah, but big up to you for that article, people hearing about the work that you're doing, because obviously that's important. Other thing I saw, you had the opportunity to go speak yesterday.
Yes, to the Young Democrats of America, the National Black Caucus was here.
Yep.
Got to go speak to them about something that you would like. I talked about you a little bit, man. Talked about urgency and the collective. You know, talking about working together, that even if we can't raise as much money as our opponents when we get ready to run for races, that we have other assets and resources, and we have to use each other's talents to amplify our message. We talked about the pod for a while, yeah. So it was a great talk.
So I got to go out of town for you to show your boy some love, bro.
I always show you love, bro. I just don't never tell you about it.
But that's important though, because that's one thing we talked about, not only in this mayoral race, but in Little Rock. When we had this whole thing about the millage election and how much money was being raised in favor of the millage. And then when your message is solid,
mm-hmm.
and when you got people mobilized resources. And energized,
yeah.
that's a resource.
Hey, absolutely.
It ain't all about the dollars and cents. So I'm glad you're spreading that word three
times. Yeah, that's what we talked about. Actually, Bakari surprised him. He spoke. Frank came down, gave him a stump speech. Yesterday was a busy day, man. We were out. Visiting with constituents till about 4 o'clock in the morning, ain't that right, Q?
4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we had you know, Juice had his birthday party last.
Oh night, so yeah, shout out, happy birthday to.
Had to go kick it with the team Frank out kicking it for Juice's birthday.
Keep it PG, brother.
I said team Frank out kicking it for Juice's birthday. That's all I said. Back out this morning with the church at 8.
Amen. So, hey. Amen. Because Jesus is the homie.
Jesus is the homie. Even after long nights.
Right.
He's more your homie then.
Okay. Before we get to Bakari, this last thing we want to talk about before we get to Bakari. We are, and I got to do a better job at this. We're recording this pod on Sunday, December 2nd.
Yes.
We are 2 days from Election Day.
Yes, we are.
We had a pod last week with John Brummett
mm-hmm.
that was, I thought was a great interview.
Yes, it was.
He was being very candid.
I enjoy listening to that pod, man.
Yeah. A lot of feedback about that pod.
Sure did.
People enjoyed that pod. People enjoyed us talking about the Savannah,
mm-hmm.
the culture of Little Rock.
Asked for the article multiple times.
Right.
Wanted to give their 2 cents. Got some calls in from some professionals here who that's all they do is tourism in the city of Little Rock. And they're saying, we absolutely agree. Multiple calls. We absolutely agree with every single point you're making that reference quality of life in Little Rock.
Right.
And that's something that maybe we're on the right track. And if we can get these people together, if we can make the disconnected connected.
Okay, okay.
You like that? If we can make the disconnected connected, then maybe we can make some real change.
Right, right. And what's important about that is that people, I don't know how this is so hard. It's like
it
voting.
It shouldn't be so hard.
It shouldn't be so hard to understand that people want things to do.
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Want to live in a place where there's opportunity, recreational,
absolutely.
Economic. And if our pod can help spur that conversation, then we're more than successful with this pod, man.
Absolutely.
So we appreciate the people. Appreciate y'all for enjoying that pod and reaching back to us. We're going to take a short break. Break. I got to learn how to talk better,
man. Yeah, you do.
Short break, and then we'll be back with special guests Frank D. Scott Jr. and Bakari Sell. Well, welcome back to Rock the Culture. Again, this is season 3, episode 6.1, part 2 with a very special guest, Bakari Sellers. As I always do, man, I ask my people, say, what up to the people?
What's going on? Thank you for having me. Do you even know what episode and show this is?
I'm jet lagged, bro. I am jet lagged.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It's an honor to be here in Little Rock, honor to be on this program.
Absolutely. So what, you know, I always remind our guests, Rock the Culture is a podcast where we bring perspective, conversation on all things Central Arkansas, all things Little Rock, all things the culture. We created this podcast, Bakari, because I know you can understand this as being a person on CNN, that there is a lot of perspective that's not our perspective. You don't see a lot of people that look like us share our thought process Correct. From our generation who are being elevated in media, quote unquote. So we started a podcast to bring that perspective, the same thing you do all the time. So that's our purpose. So we appreciate you being here, being in Little Rock for our friend Frank Scott.
Yeah.
And let's just talk about it. Let's get right into it. you could be, people pull you every which way. Yeah. They want you campaigning. I just heard you speak. You say you've been all across the country in the past month with a big midterm election coming up. Why Little Rock? Why Frank Sky? Why is this important enough for you to take time to be in Little Rock today?
Well, you know, first of all, local elections matter. And people need to understand the value of your mayors and city councils and school boards. But even more importantly, there is a new wave of leadership in the country, and it looks a lot like us. And whether or not it's Jackson, Mississippi, or whether or not it's, you know, I remind people that New Orleans has its first female mayor. Atlanta has a mayor named Keisha.
I was my first time in Atlanta since she was mayor, and I was getting ready to get on the train, and I said, it said Mayor Keisha Bottoms. Made me feel some type of way.
For the culture.
And then we have a first female African-American mayor of Charlotte. We have Randall Woofen, young black guy, and so it's only right that, you know, we don't skip anywhere. And I think that if we're able to get Frank elected here, then there'll be a whole nother generation of young people who can grow up and want to run for the state house and want to run for city councils and mayors throughout this part of region of the country. And we don't have to cede any ground anywhere. I mean, we can get elected everywhere by just putting up good people, and people have to be willing to run. And so if Frank's willing to run, I'm willing to support.
Well, man, I appreciate that. From your personal perspective, we know that you were the youngest, member of the legislature in South Carolina history. Mm-hmm. So big up to you for being.
That was a long time ago, man. I tell people that a long. I actually ran before Barack Obama ran for president. I was back in 2006. So there have been a lot of great young people who have come since then. But when I got elected, I was the youngest state legislator in the country, youngest black elected official in the country. And so what I'm trying to do is just pay it forward, because there are a lot of people who have come since then. Mandela Barnes, for example, is a 31-year-old black lieutenant governor in Wisconsin. You got Justin Fairfax. I mean, you got some good, talented people, so we just have to make sure we lift them up.
And I wanted to give big ups to you, because I think you and I are the same age. So in 06, you're out making history. And I'm graduating from college, trying to figure out, you know, get started in law school. So I just want to congratulate you on our pod for being bold enough to step out and do what you're doing and doing what you're doing now. When you see Little Rock, you travel a lot. You've been in Little Rock a few different times. What do you see in Little Rock? We're here all the time, and sometimes you can lose the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
So what's your perspective on Little Rock and how it relates to this mayor's race?
It's a lot of promise in Little Rock. But you can tell that Little Rock's stuck, like a lot of cities are, with the repetitiveness of leadership and people who don't have a vision. And so there's a lot of opportunity here in Little Rock. I mean, it is and should continue to be a beacon of Arkansas, a beacon of the South, and continue to grow. But there's no reason that it can't be a tech capital of the country or the world. There's no reason that it can't be a higher education mecca where people travel around in their little incubators around it. It's no reason it can't be a place where small businesses just flourish. It's no reason it can't be a place where African-American women lead the way in science, technology, engineering, and math. I mean, you just have to think outside of the box and have a leader who wants to implement a vision that's not repetitive and one that probably hasn't been done before. And change is uncomfortable. And so that's when, after Frank wins this race, you guys are going to have to be there to be supportive, because there are going to be a lot of people who want change day one, which is very hard to do, but also are going to be hesitant to allow the change to occur. And so.
And that was a great segue, I guess, because you're a professional. You do this all the time. You know how to make this easy.
I just threw you a lob.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Vince Carter.
Hey, and I used to be able to get up in a day.
Lie. That's a lie. Now, fact is that last time Bakari was here, because he was, like I said totally earlier, he was here in 2016.
Right.
He did tell me he would dunk on me.
Well, so. That's light work, though. That ain't. You 5'4".
That's so disrespectful on the pod.
But Twan is shorter than me.
That is not true. But I got game, bro. You can go check my tapes. For the record, Bakari, he didn't hoop. I hooped in college, so it may be.
Where'd you go to school?
Bowdoin College up in Maine.
Yeah, for sure.
You know Bowdoin?
Nah.
Okay. I see where we're going. Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. But you're talking about the letter from the Birmingham jail, Martin Luther King was kind of talking about how there's this kind of conflict with change, and people are, they always tell you, it's not your time yet.
Yeah.
There's this, what's my word I always use?
Use a lot of them, bro. Which one are you talking about?
Man, I can't believe I forget my word. I wrote the articles about. Were they trying to tell you how to live your life?
Paternal?
No.
Paternal?
Paternalistic.
There you go.
It's paternalistic in politics. And I'm sorry it took me so long to get there. So what did you, in your personal experience, so we can learn from you, what did you see when you was embarking on that change that maybe we can take away from when you up against those type of challenges?
Well, there are two things. First, when people need to realize and remember that when King wrote the letter to the Birmingham jail, he was talking to his own people.
Yeah.
I mean, he was talking to pastors, and even more specifically, he was talking to Southern pastors, and even more specifically, he was talking to Southern black pastors, right? And so that's ironic, but yet still very true that a lot of the landmines we have to run through are going to be in our own community. But to answer your question about how did I get through it, I was like, so what? Like, you know, it's that sense of invincibility that millennials have that we're not. I'm not.
You consider yourself a millennial?
I am. By definition, I'm 34.
We the same age, but I always considered, I thought it was like late 80s where you're a millennial.
Man, Google it.
If you Google it, you get too many different answers. No, Pull out your phone. Don't you coming on my pod trying to
be a fact checker, bro? That's what you do for a living.
He a lawyer. He ain't no different than a lawyer than me. Hey, we both passed a bar, bro. I respect him.
It took me a while.
I respect them, but I know there's different definitions of millennial.
The birth years for millennial are like born 82. Between 1981 and 1997.
Yeah. I'll find you a different article. Now,
what's
I'll post your
it source, on your... Bakari? What source is that?
Google.
Bakari.com.
The Google. Y'all know that? All right. The Pew Research Center, which is credible, says that those born after 1980 are millennials.
Okay. Well, Pew Research is legit.
That is legit. Okay.
I'll give you that. I always try to separate myself in millennial because I got a younger sister who's 7 years younger than me. And how she grew up is different. We didn't grow up with Facebook. You didn't grow up with a cell phone. And I mean, I didn't get my cell phone until my senior year of high school.
Yeah, I didn't get a cell phone until college.
Right. And we didn't have social media, so it was a whole different. And that's why.
Thank God we didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't. Oh, anyway, but you said that mentality that Frank is going to have to embrace, his people is going to have to embrace, our city is going to have to embrace, that there's going to be some pushback, but you just got to push through.
Well, yeah, you got to push through. I mean, there's no question, but this city's never seen a black man with the label mayor on it before, right? Not an elected. And so, you know, that change ain't going to be easy. And there are going to be people who come out the woodworks to fight that type of change. And so you all, as a collective who uplifts those voices of color, have to be there. But, you know, Frank is going to have challenges that he's going to have to sort through. And he's going to have to look at the black community and be like, look, I'm not mayor of black Little Rock. I'm mayor of all Little Rock. And then he's going to have to look at some of the white folk in Little Rock and say, this might make you uncomfortable, but we need to do this. We need to make sure that we have these programs in this particular part of the city. And so it's going to be challenging, but even more so, it's going to be fun because this is not something he cannot do. This is not something he can't be successful at. Yeah. He could be one of the best mayors in the country.
Absolutely, and we believe that. That's why we're supportive of him, and obviously he's a friend of ours, and we want to see him get there. From a national lens, I know you mentioned that all across the country there are different people popping up. How does this affect the national conversation as it relates to a black mayor in the capital city? Sometimes people don't realize that. Yeah. This is the capital city of the Southern...
Bentonville ain't the capital city.
Well, some people think that. That's where the money is, but this is literally the capital city, so we're making this type of history. What do you think this does to kind of the national conversation?
People pay attention to this. This is not a blip on the radar because, you know, there are challenges throughout the South, and the question is, can you be progressive and win in the South? And the answer to that question is yes, I hope. And so watching progressivism be successful in the South, and from Jackson to Little Rock to Birmingham, it is amazing to see. And so people are paying attention to that. And I tell presidential candidates, you can't overlook Arkansas. You can't overlook Mississippi and Georgia, North Carolina and South Carolina.
But people do it all the time.
Well, you can't any longer because of the fact that now the Democratic primary runs through these states. After Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, you know, the Democratic primary runs through these states. And so Frank's going to be an essential part of that. And even more so, you know, the times are changing. And... We'll see what happens in the state of Arkansas as a whole. But now you have a black sheriff in Pulaski County.
Correct.
And so
black
county clerks.
Circuit County Clerk, yeah.
Yeah, so
first, both the first.
So, yeah. I mean, you have these things that are changing. You got a Democratic senator in Arkansas. I mean, in Alabama. I mean, he did run against a pedophile, so that's a little bit slightly easier.
Slightly, but barely won, though.
Don't matter. No matter how you win. Now.
Nah, win is a win. But I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You said slightly.
Win.
Yeah.
I thought you was about to hit a lyric. No,
Kelly, this Kelly over here. Is he gonna ask a question or is he just go back up? Nah, is he ad libbing the whole
thing? So I'm Beyonce. I'm Beyonce. He don't have good questions. He don't have good questions. Well, go ahead then.
Go ahead, bro. You got it.
He ain't got nothing.
He don't got nothing. So here's the other perspective as it relates to Little Rock in this race. So you said you were campaigning for Randall down in Birmingham.
Of course. Morehouse, man. He was SJ president the year before I was. I know Randall very well for a long period of time.
Shout out to Morehouse. Shout out to the HBCU. Shout out to Philander for allowing us to be on campus. I know Birmingham is a different city than Little Rock, but do you see some parallels in what Randall has, his campaign and Frank's campaign and how he has governed and how Frank can govern?
Yeah, so, I mean, the campaigns are quite similar because you both have cities that are rooted in civil rights history. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of them are integral in the progress that people of color made. With that, there's also a generation of black folk that you have to be accepted by, and sometimes that's tough for younger people. And Frank's been able to thread that needle. And then you have an old guard as well, of a political establishment class that's black, white, and otherwise. And Frank and Randall both have those similarities that they're able to talk to everyone from the streets, to the courthouse steps, to the boardrooms. And that's essential. I mean, that's something that you have to be able to do. I do the kind of Uber taxi cab check when I come in town. And like when I was in Birmingham with Randall, you know, the bus driver would be like, I voted for you. Just yesterday we were stopped by an Uber driver and he was like, I voted for you already, Frank, you know, keep going. And the bartenders and things like that. That's how you win a race. It's not about the grass. It's not about the grass tops by any stretch. You don't necessarily want the pastor in every church, but if you can get the congregation, then you're doing quite well.
Absolutely.
For you being around the same age as Antoine and Frank and myself, and having that serious run for lieutenant governor. What year was that?
2014.
We had an opportunity to talk to the Young Democrats of America yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those questions revolved around, as a young person, how do you jump into leadership roles? What makes you feel comfortable going out and running for office?
Well, I mean, I always, first question I ask people is, have you ever met anybody who's halfway pregnant? And the answer to that is no.
Either you in or you out. Ain't that what your mama you say?
Either you in or you out.
Close my door.
So that's right. That's right. That's what it is to run for office. I mean, you can't stick your toe in it. You have to be all consuming because it's going to, you know, your family's going with you. And you need to figure out who you are as a person. You need to figure out what your ethics and your morals and what you stand for. And then we can build a candidate from there. But you have to be a good person with a good core, have a good heart, believe in those things that are necessary for us, particularly people of color and poor people, to cling on to kind of carry forward. And so, you know, that's what I tell people. And then it's a science. I mean, you know, you don't want to be a martyr. Don't go out there and, you know, run against Barack Obama. But, like, figure out where you want to be, what you want to do. I always tell people to run at home, mm-hmm. too. I mean, run where you can go to church and people love you and, you know, people know you. And so you have some base and you have some reason and some energy. And then you have people to hold you accountable, too. So, all of these things are important, but I encourage more young people, especially more women of color, to run for office because, you know, men have screwed up this country long enough.
Absolutely. I agree with that. One of the last things, get you out here, Bakari, on a personal note, when did you realize you had that good core, that you were the type of person who said, I'm going to put my name on the ballot?
Well, I mean, there are two things that I admonish and kind of warn most people, especially young people who are already elected, is one, you never, ever, ever write your own obituary. You know, you never want to begin to talk about any accolades that you may have, right? That's first. Let other people do that. There's enough time for other people to talk about those things that you've done. And so I don't know the answer to the question of when I realized I was a good person per se, but what I...
Well, in the context, you said that's when you got to realize a good core
I wanted to do good work.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the most amazing things I was able to do was build a library in my district in, like, the first year or two I got elected. And oh, I was that important, because I come from a really, really poor district, and there was nowhere for people to go and congregate and, like, fill out job applications. There was nowhere for there to be after-school programs or summer programs, and so it ain't that big. I mean, it's about the size of this building that we're in here at Philander. I mean, it's not a big library at all. It cost us $1.3 million to build. But that was just somewhat of an epicenter of change I was able to put into my district. And that, you know, I don't know how I'll be judged as a person, but that's a good work.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, thank you for being here all
weekend. Look at that. Kelly came in open and closed.
I'm going to ask you one more question for kicking it with us all weekend.
I appreciate you recognizing that I'm the Beyonce. That's what he said.
You got to let him. I told him this weekend, he's going to start calling me Lonzo Ball. Because I keep dishing the rock to my brothers.
Lonzo Ball is jump shot.
Because he can't
trash,
shoot.
Though.
Because he can't shoot.
He's dropping doms, though. He's dropping doms.
There are a lot of other people you could be.
Who else got brothers?
Be like, oh.
Who else got brothers? See, I mean, it's just more than just me just dropping doms.
I don't know.
I'm making sure my brothers are eating. So I'm making sure my brothers are eating.
Am I Mello?
No, you L'Angelo.
Oh, wow. You the middle child.
Yeah, they're not.
Your daddy don't even like you. Your daddy don't even like you.
Ask your question.
You've been here. Action items. What do we need to do? What do people in Little Rock need to do to make sure that Frank Scott Jr. is going to be our next mayor come Tuesday?
Well, one of the things I'm worried about this race is I hope we didn't cannibalize our vote, which means that all the people... all of our voters already voted, and that there won't be people who vote on election day. Like, you cannibalize, you eat all your vote before then. And so I hope that there are people who have already voted who go out and do the extra work to get the people who are at work. Because, you know, when people wake up, they get their kid off to school on Tuesday. By the way, election day should be a national holiday, but I digress.
I agree.
We talked about that on the podcast.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, you get your kid off to school. I mean, you wake up at 6, you get your kid off to the bus at 7:15, and you get yourself together. You're at work by 8:30. You got a 30-minute lunch. You get off at 5. You pick your kid up from school, and then you like, I got to feed him and stuff. I ain't going to worry about it. And don't let it be cold and wet and all that other stuff. I mean, you just – but we need those people to realize that it's about something larger than themselves. And I think Frank is reaching those people. But, yeah. I mean, that's what you guys have to do. I mean, as much as I love Little Rock, this ain't my city. This is yours, and you're going to determine the Absolutely. Destiny thereof.
I definitely appreciate you, Bakar, being on the pod. Obviously, what you do, what you've done, what you're going to do is rocking the culture, which is all what we're about, shaping up things the way they are to be what they can be. We follow you. We support you. We applaud you. And we thank you for coming. You said, I heard you in your speech, said two words that not said often enough.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to Little Rock. Thank you for supporting our friend.
And thank you guys for seeing a void. And trying to step in the gap and fill that gap. So I look forward to promoting this pod.
So you got a movie out now. So
I got a documentary.
Documentary out.
Yeah. While I Breathe, I Hope. It chronicles my race for lieutenant governor in 2014. And when the movie was supposed to be over, we had the Charleston massacre, so it kind of picked up, and then I ended up on CNN. So it's a dope film. It's gonna have a home soon. Can't really talk about it in public yet, but it's done the festival circuit, and you know that's dope.
So it chronicled your lieutenant governor run.
Yeah. And so it's booked in by my father being involved in the Orange Ring Massacre, February 8th, 1968, the Charleston Massacre, and my run is in between. And so it's a film that gives you an interesting perspective, and it shows everything.
Man, we're definitely going to promote that, too. And I look forward to seeing that, to learning your history, sure. Learning the importance of what you did, and continue to be inspired by your work, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
Well, we're here with, and it's a pleasure to say it, with a friend and the next mayor of Little Rock, Frank D. Scott Jr. Say what up to the people.
What up?
See, last time, you
know what
I'm going to get him. He's like this. You know I'm going to get him. The last time, he was like, what up? Like, don't be scared of the microphone. You've been giving all these stump speeches. Want to talk to you. We just had your friend as a part of the pod, Bakari Sellers. Just talk about... very quickly, Frank, what it means to have someone like Bakari come to Little Rock to help people understand that it's time for a change and time for new generation of leadership in Little Rock.
It's a humbling experience to have someone of Bakari's caliber to believe in myself, but not only believe in me, believe in Little Rock. Many people don't understand the reason why Little Rock is receiving a lot of national attention with our mayoral race is because Little Rock is a microcosm of this great nation. We're both urban and rural at the same time, and we are experiencing a lot of the many woes that we see in this nation, but also many of the successes as well. Again, the reason why I'm running for mayor of my hometown is because I truly want to unify our city, focus on jobs growth, secure our communities, and lead real change, and it's time that we focus on all of those.
And we support you. The pod is very supportive of you. And I know a lot of people in the city are supportive of you. And I've talked to people who said they voted. You talked to people that said they voted. We're recording this pod on Sunday, December 2nd. What's the word from you as the candidate to people listening to this pod before Election Day to get back out and either – what do you want them to do between now and December 4th?
We got 48 hours, and I want to make certain each hour, each minute, each second – I'm earning your vote. I want to make certain I'm asking for everyone's vote. I don't care if you voted for Mr. Saban or Mr. Swartz or Mr. Tyler or even Mr. Curris. I want to make certain that you know that I want to unify the city and lead real change. And we have an opportunity to do that in Little Rock right now. If you're comfortable the way things are, I'm not your guy. But you really want to see true unity and true change, I am that person, along with a team of others that we're all going to work together and move us from being disconnected to connected. And it's time that we do it. So I'm sincerely asking for your vote. I'm begging for your vote. And if you do that, you'll see true unity and real change in Little Rock.
And one thing that Bakari mentioned real quickly, Frank, he said that obviously change doesn't come easy. So what's the word you give to the people who are understanding that not only you as a candidate is receiving some pushback towards this change, but people who are supporting you? What's the encouraging words to people in going through this process?
The encouraging words through this process is we always have to extend each other grace. I've been extending a lot of grace in my lifetime. I've experienced a lot throughout this journey. I've learned to turn the other cheek. Not one time, two times, but seven times this process, and we're going to continue to be positive. And when the dust settles on December 5th, if we're blessed to become the next mayor, I'm going to continue to extend grace because I'm all about unifying this city. We can't hold grudges. We can only focus on our present and our new future of unifying Little Rock, moving from disconnected to connected, and lead real change.
Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate you running. We appreciate you being who you are. Appreciate you being a friend to us. Appreciate you ushering in this new era of change in our city. Bakari mentioned it early on the podcast today that Little Rock can be an example to the rest of the country about this new generation of thought, a new generation of leadership, and for you to be the person to put your name out there to help us usher in that change, man, we appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate that, but it's not about – this is bigger than me.
It takes someone.
Yeah.
It takes someone. To get that started. It takes someone to put their name on the ballot, and you've done that, and you should be respected for that. And we look forward to celebrating with you, and we look forward to working with you because there's work to do.
There's always work to be done.
Definitely work to do. And we know you're going to continue to rock the culture.
I am.
And when you become mayor, don't come on rock the culture.
We need at least three keys to the city. I'm going to call it out right now. Keys to the city. TV need one. Rock the culture need one. And Tanisha need one for putting up with Antoine.
She really need one.
She really do need one. But people been
Thank
asking
you, Tanisha.
Me. People been asking me. I was like, so when Frank wins, what's going to happen on Rock the Culture? So we're going to keep doing the same thing. But if Frank, forget about Rock the Culture. We coming. I got a microphone. People listening now. People listening.
They really listening.
People really listening.
Hi.
Man, we appreciate y'all. We'll see y'all. This was a bonus pod, so we'll be back tomorrow with our special guest, Keisha Johnson, to talk about Real Talk with LMJ. And we're going to continue to highlight the mayor's race and other big news in our city. We'll see y'all in a couple days. Rock the culture.
Rock the culture.